the expat Joes. This is our expat show. We are the expat Joes. This is our expat show. We are the expat Joes. This is our expat show. We are the expat Joes. This is our expat show.
All right, so welcome to the second official episode of the Expat Joe Show.
Expat Joe!
Expat Joe!
I mean, I'm telling you, this is, I think it's gold. Gold in your ear, right? I mean, basically, I'm pretty proud of it.
Wherever you are, in your car, in your bed, in your shower.
Which... We're with you.
Well, you know, it might be dangerous to listen to your iPod in the shower. Although I'm sure, you know, that's something Steve Jobby hasn't invented yet.
The shower pod.
The shower pod.
Yeah. But I'm sure he's not far off. I'm sure it's in the works. There's a patent out there somewhere. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Here we are. This is the second episode, official episode of the Expat Joe Show.
Expat Joe!
And, you know, we're coming to you live. Well, I guess internet live. You know, what does live mean anymore, right? I mean, there's a delay.
Yeah.
Even Saturday Night Live isn't even live anymore.
No, it's balls. So, but we're live in
the
Joe's...
We're not dead.
We're as live as you want us to be.
In Joe's kitchen stroke, sitting room stroke studio.
Well, here's the thing. We have decided to come and blow your mind once again and share with you a little tidbit of our lives as expatriates.
Expatriates. It's like the X-Men without the superhero powers.
The expatriate men.
Yeah. Yeah, so welcome back to the second episode. Hopefully, if you listen to our first episode, you'll know what we're all about. We're going to talk
about... And if you haven't, why don't you?
Yeah,
you
know, get
stop,
on...
Stop listening right now and download the first episode.
Get so on the can... archives.
Yeah.
The archives there. On what's the address there,
well,
Joe?
That's http://expatjoeshow.blogspot.com.
And we're also joined by Joe over here. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, Joe.
That's
Joe,
good.
You're good?
We're all good. And folks, what we do here, we sit here and we drink some of the mech chews and we discuss life as expats. So let's get to it. We're going to talk a little bit about our expat topic of the week is...
Expat topic of the week!
Is food.
Food, glorious food.
So, food in... Well, okay. I'm going to start. I lived in China and South Korea, so I have a few food topics. China, first of all, one thing I want to say. If you're an expat in the Chungguk area, in the China area, or if you're going there, one warning is if you order soup, any soup, be ready to have a chicken part in the soup. It doesn't matter, even if it's not chicken soup, if it's beef soup or human soup or whatever kind of soup, it's going to have chicken foot or chicken head in it.
Just for flavoring.
I don't know why. Maybe there's too many chickens. But that's one of the food, the things I discovered about food in China. Chicken bits. Lips and arseholes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not extra price. That's just like
They throw that in for nothing.
Huh.
That you get that without even ordering it. It's like a little bonus, a little surprise. You're scooping around, you got some potatoes in your soup and everything and all that stuff. And all of a sudden a little head floats to the top or a foot.
Okay, well, what does chicken beak taste like?
Chicken beak. Oh, that's the thing. You see, when I found the chicken bits, I scooped them out and threw them over my shoulder. Apparently, that's good luck in China.
Wow.
Whatever chicken bit you find means something different.
Well, good luck to somebody else, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Except for the poor kid, it hits in the eye.
Yeah.
My eye.
Blinded by the chicken beak.
Yeah. So, and that was China. And other than that, you know, food is okay. Korea. Let me tell you a little story. So I was living in the Daegu.
The Daegu.
Big, how's it going there to all the dudes and chicks down in Daegu?
You know what? I've never been to Daegu before.
Oh, the goo, man. We call it the goo. You're,
the big goo, right? I mean, the big goo.
The big goo. If you haven't been to the goo, you haven't lived. The goo's, it's a special place where the people are angry, where the men are men and the sheep are nervous. Although I haven't seen a sheep down in the Gu. But anyway, and the Gu was the first place I lived in South Korea. And I went down there and it was all good. I moved in with my buddy, Big T. He's out there. He knows who he is. How's it going, man? Big T. Hope the new family are well, Big T. And we had an episode with an octopus.
Octopi.
No, octopus singular.
Octopus singular. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
We moved in. The Big T just moved in. And I got this phone call from my Hagwon boss. Hagwon boss, manager of private English academy. And she says, the janitor was just over to inspect your apartment. And I just want to tell you, you're not allowed to have an octopus in your apartment. I swear to God, this happened. So, I mean, I was new to the country, not let alone the food. So I, of course, thought she meant the food. And I was then, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had an octopus in my apartment. She goes, yes, you do. And you're not allowed to have it. You have to get rid of it. Get rid of the octopus.
As in you ordered some dish and there was octopus in the dish.
That was my perception of the whole situation. So, you know, I searched around the house for some takeaway that wasn't cleared out before I moved into the house. Couldn't find any octopus takeaway. She called back and because the janitor came again as the Big T was moving in his stuff, and he went in, looked in under the drawer, and we were standing there going, what the fuck's this guy doing? He's looking under the beds, looking under the drawers, shaking his head and looks angry. He walks off again, getting another phone call. And she says, you know, you didn't get rid of the octopus. You can't have an octopus in your apartment. And I was dumbfounded. You know, I didn't. So me and the Big T got nervous and we thought there must be a rogue octopus in the apartment. We have to search and seek out the octopus. So we searched everywhere, looked under chairs, and then there was these two big leather chairs we used to sit in, like big lazy boy type deal, sitting just veg, watching TV. And we never, ever cleaned under them. We never even moved them for fear that the earth would be destroyed. So I said, you know what, T, we're going to have to see what's under these puppies. So we, the two of us, this guy's 6'3" or something. He's a big dude. You know, no offense out there. You know, you're.
Was
you're,
he a Canuck?
You're my man. He's a Canuck.
Attaboy.
He's a Canuck, and we moved the chair a little bit, and then suddenly, out of the blackness beneath the chair, is this big dark kind of stain, you know, appeared, and he ran off behind the door. Because he thought it was the octopus was living under our big chair, you know,
lying in wait.
Waiting for us to fall asleep so it could reach up with his tentacles and suck out our brains. Mm. Anyway, it turned out it wasn't the dead
octopus. Facehugger octopus.
Yeah, so there was no octopus, man. She was accusing me of harboring an octopus in my apartment. And I don't know where this came from, but this was an experience I had. And it's kind of to do with food. Anyway, there's a lot more to that story. But let's just say, you know, your academy bosses here, they don't like if you have octopuses in your apartment.
It's just company policy, I guess.
Yeah, so that's my food story. Although, technically, it's not about eating.
Now, you got to tell us, was the octopus found?
You know what? I'm gonna let you linger on that for a while. Ooh. And I'm going to come back to that story.
Nice.
I'm going to come back to that
bookend
again. Yeah, exactly. So part two, listeners out there in your shower, with your shower pod, come back for that. Big T.
Here's
dude.
The thing. When I go out to get something to eat, you know, I'm so thankful for the old photographs. You know what I mean? Like, I look for a place that has the photographs. Because, I mean, I can speak a little bit of the language, but I'm nowhere near adequate. You know, I'm close to illiterate over here. So, you know, I am very grateful whenever I see photographs on the menu.
Outside of the restaurants. That's the thing here.
That'll draw you in, for sure. If you're ever looking at drawing a foreigner, just put a photograph of
That's common in all the other Asian countries I've been to. They have photographs of the food outside of the restaurant. So
kudos to them. Yeah,
well, some places have a little glass cabinet, but the food is coated in
plasticized.
Some kind of polypropylene. I don't know what it is. And was it once food, or is it a, you know, facsimile of food? What is that under the plastic?
I'm telling you. When I see, I like to see what I'm eating, you know, I look at, you know, a bunch of scribbles on the paper, that's a little daunting for me, you know. I like to at least, you know, I'm a big fan of, hey, let's walk around the restaurant and then grab the waiter and point at whatever someone else is eating that looks somewhat scrumptious.
You know? Yeah, but then you get it and you got to nurse like a Japanese flag the next morning.
Oh, dude. Burn a hole through solid steel right there.
Yeah. So what about you, Joe? What's your experience with food here in the old Asia?
Is it too soon to do the dog
no
stew story?
No. I mean, let's leap
right?
Let's leap and roll over right into it.
Well, there isn't much to it. I mean, a friend of mine and his wife brought me to this little place in Incheon, and the stew arrived. It was fatty and gummy and just not scrumptious. I didn't enjoy that boshintang.
Yeah. You know, I remember I had a boshintang once, and I remember there were two parts. There was the dark meat and then the gelatinous.
Right.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
I won't eat it again. I ate it before I knew how the meat was slaughtered.
Mm.
The poor dogs are
riling, right?
They were beaten to death.
Well, I have nothing against eating dog, right? Mm. I have nothing against... The only thing I have a problem with is that the industry is not regulated and they don't have any sort of legal control over the dog farmers, and that's a problem. However, and since you brought up dog, that is something about Korean food that I always come across, is that it's good for man.
Mm.
Right.
It's good for man.
Manly.
The meat is shot through with adrenaline, so... Yeah, the old guys getting on in years, they can get it up that night.
Mm. That's it. The old nature's Viagra.
You know what? There's so much food out here that when I'm with Koreans and they say, here, eat this, eat that. And it's like, oh, yeah, so, you know, what is this? And they're like, it's
for your stamina.
It's good for man. It's good for man, you know? Which, I guess, I mean, it must be because there's 50 million people in the country and it's about the size of Iceland.
Oh, wow. You know, when I remember, like I said, the two parts, and I remember there was the gelatinous part. And I always thought, like, what would that be on the dog? And I thought, you know, if you got Lassie there, and, you know, Lassie, she's licking your face, and then you just go on the neck of Lassie. You know how those, like, little bumps there on the neck, you know?
So that would be the neck meaty bits?
Neck meaty, gooey jelly stuff.
Lips and arseholes.
Mm-hmm. Nah, those dogs don't move. They're kept in like cages smaller than your closet.
I'm telling you, it was like everywhere. It was like bubblegum when I was chewing that stuff. Yeah. It was like the real deal.
So, well, it's kind of
like, I'm sorry, guys.
No, anyway, that's kind of an introduction to food and
that being said, you know, I mean, I spent a little bit of time in India, and it's kind of, you know, unthought of to eat meat over there. I'm as sure many people know, you know, and that just
especially,
goes to show you.
Especially cows.
Yeah. And you know, we eat hamburgers all the time, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, while dog meat may be offensive for some,
hamburgers are
offensive
for others. I have no problem with the dog meat. I just have a problem with the way it's prepared and the way they farm the dogs. And you know what? It's been, okay, we've talked about chicken beaks, chicken feet, dog meat, and, you know, but we have to say that the food here,
delish.
It is. It's delicious.
Yeah, it is.
It goes down well, smooth, like a pint of warm blood.
Contains four times the recommended intake of WHO standards for salt. But it is good.
But then so does the snackables back home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of salt, but it's delicious. You know, the food is good. That's not a problem any of you folks out there are going to have if you decide to come to Korea. Food is good.
Cheap.
Delish. Okay. Well, there's some advice. I hope that was insightful for expats out there.
If anything, I mean... Mouths were watering, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The texture of that gelatinous dog meat.
The beaks and the chicken.
Oh, my God. I feel like a piece of beak meat right now. So, okay, let's move on. Time is short. Life is short.
Is it time for ESL dialogue?
It is not. It is not.
We're getting there.
What is it time for?
It's time for our news minute. Our expat news minute.
All right.
This is the expat news. This is the expat news. Insert jingle.
You know, I just want to say that when we're supposed to come up here with our expat news, I think I've failed. I've failed this week. You know, for those of you who don't know, Chuseok was this week, which is the Korean Thanksgiving.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And so I was a little tied up this week.
Oh, is that a reference? A secret, like a little Freudian slip reference?
Well, you tied know, up, tied I can't up. Get into the details.
Oh, give us some personal news.
Well, tied up to who?
Let me just say the How blisters many? Are healing.
But, yeah, you're whipped with octopi.
That's it. I just want to say, in lieu of the expat news, I wanted to give a little rundown of Chuseok.
Hmm, yeah, let's hear about Chuseok.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I went out with some of my Korean bros and sisters, and they took us out to their family gathering. As you know, the Chuseok is the basic respecting of those ancestors which have passed on, right?
And, well, mostly the male ones, yeah.
Right.
Is it really?
Well, you know what? I bowed to grandma.
All right.
I did, you know, and I was very thankful for my Korean friends who set me up, and they took me to the family, and I got to you know, spend time and learn what this Thanksgiving is all about.
What is it about?
A lot of bowing, a lot of grapes,
money.
Mm-hmm.
You get money if you're a kid, right?
And I'm telling you. They tried to teach me Go Stop. Have you ever tried Go Stop?
Yeah, that's the most confusing game in the
world.
Dude,
there are 150 million rules for Go Stop.
Match the flower with the black stripe and then match the black part with the red thing. The
bird, yeah.
That's
but and then press go.
I kind of got the hang of it, but you know what? By now, it's kind of... I'm going to have to do the internet reference on the Go Stop.
We might put that up on the old Blogspot there. Go Stop.
Might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Chuseok is, it's the main holiday here, isn't it, really?
It's like Christmas, right?
Mm, I mean, it's the big one. It's the big O. It's the big holiday. They get, like, a few days off, and that's that's the big holiday. But, so you didn't get much, well, but that's news for us.
I went out to the old, the mounds out there, and the family gravesite, and they explained to me this is who had passed on, and...
They pour some soju onto the mound?
Oh, they were dumping the soju on, and...
Wouldn't it be awesome? That'd be great if zombies were real, because in Korea, they'd all be drunk.
Drunk zombies. Yeah.
Soju zombies. And if you... So, for those of you out there who don't know what soju is, if you downloaded our last podcast from
www.blogspot.com.
If you downloaded the last episode, there's a song on there at the end that explains what soju is.
Mm-hmm.
You can YouTube that too.
That'll put awesome. Hair on your balls right there.
Put hair in your nips. Well then, Joe, do you have any news? Expat news? Mm. Is any of this show going to make sense?
I guess in the midst of this global market meltdown, I guess something that's relevant to those of us in... the Great Republic of Korea. The question is, how low can the won go?
Ooh.
It dropped about another 3.5-4% today against the US dollar, which dropped against most other currencies. So
it's going to go pretty fucking low.
Well, it's lost 40% against the US dollar over the last 4 years.
So as of today, which is what, the 16th of September?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Today's the 16th of September. What are we talking here?
What is it?
If I go in and trade my won in for dollars, which
US
I,
dollars?
Yeah.
I think Canadian dollars, which is a currency that we deal in. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. The Joes. The majority of the Joes deal in.
Yeah.
I think I saw today on the old XE.com.
Yeah, I use that.
It was about
It's fuck all is what it was.
Basically.
Because if you're... Okay, so I think the moral here is, Joe...
When you're renegotiating your contract, look at
get paid in cadavers.
That won't happen. But
get paid in orange juice. ask to be paid in diamonds. Can I have some beer there, Joe?
I'm drinking from the bottle, though. I can't.
I'll fucking drink it too.
Okay.
Sorry there for the language, folks. But you know, if you're an if you're an expat,
okay, that's something. That's a feature we should add to the website. A pool on how low the wand can go.
Mm. Yeah. What you reckon? Okay, let's make an estimate. By the end of the
fiscal year, the end of November.
End of November. What do you reckon the exchange will be for one wand to $1?
U.S. dollar. I think you will need 1,300 won to buy one U.S. dollar by the end of November.
I think you'll need 1,300 won and a Hyundai car. but
they'll be giving them away then.
I think you'll need at least 1.5
Eolis.
That's it. To buy at least 2 Amaros. You know?
I think you're going to need 100 bottles of soju, 10 pots of kimchi, and a partridge and a midget to buy
a bear tree.
A bear to buy to buy.
Guys, I've never seen a Korean midget. Where are they?
They don't. Surely they exist. Don't. They don't. They're mystical creatures. You know the way where I'm from, we have the leprechauns.
Leprechauns.
Well, Korean midgets are mystical creatures.
They're the ones
who are making all the money.
That's it.
Where are they? That's okay. That's a. I want to know the answer. Where are the Korean
little
midgets?
People.
Where are the Korean
little people?
Oh yeah, I guess that's the PC term.
Well, that's most of them would prefer that. I'm told.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. I deeply apologize for that. I don't mean to be on PC. Korean little people, is that really a better term than midgets? I mean,
I would be proud to be a midget. I would be on the first plane to Hollywood.
Oh,
I
man, we've offended a lot of hidden people.
We've potentially offended. We don't know if any little people are listening.
Look, little, I don't know.
If you're listening, just say
isn't
this.
Dwarf the term? No? No,
well,
that's
I think
not.
That's wrong.
There's a whole hierarchy of...
Oh no, we can't get into this. We can't get into this.
No. I think we can't get into it because we're so unqualified to speak about it.
Okay.
I think that's the bottom line.
Look, if you're out there and you're offended, we are very, very sorry. Please inform us of what the right term is.
Send us an email. That's
growth
that's
impaired, right. Would that be more politically correct?
No, they probably don't want to be referred to as impaired.
Right.
Oh man, this is a hard one. Okay, well, we've two questions this week, folks. Where are the Korean people who aren't as tall
as most others,
and where and what is the correct term to apply to those people? I have seen dudes on the street in Korea with rubber kind of gloves around their legs. Have you seen that? Have you noticed that?
Rubber gloves on
their
legs?
They pull themselves along on a little trolley.
Ah, right.
And they've got a big rubber, it looks like an inner tube. And I guess they're amputees or whatever.
Yeah,
and I feel really bad for them. They're wheeling themselves around, they're begging for money.
Yeah.
But those aren't midgets.
No.
No, they're not, but what's the deal? Like, I wish, you know, we need to get help for these people.
For sure.
Anyway, where are the less than
smaller
tall?
Smaller folk.
Where are the smaller folk in Korea? Okay, we're going to have a poll up on the, can we get something, some sort of poll on the website?
I'll do what I can do.
Poll might not be the right word for it, but.
Survey.
Trampoline? No, we'll get something on, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm digging a hole here. Okay.
moving on. Yeah.
Moving on to the old media. So, hopefully last week, if you're going to be an avid listener to this podcast,
which we highly endorse,
you got to check the media out.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, who wants to start? What do we got?
Not me. Let's look at the old schedule here. It says movie.
Ooh, that's me.
Joe.
Oh, Joe. Okay, here we go. Well, you know what? I thought last week we talked about the zeitgeist, right? And I think that gave a beginner's guide to 9/11, you know? And I thought that kind of, that skimmed the surface, you know? I mean, there's just such, there's got to be at least 10 decent documentaries.
Would you agree, Joe, that the zeitgeist opens the door and then other movies, one of which you will talk about, lead you down the rabbit hole?
That's what I'm pointing at, you know. The movie that I'm going to talk about this week, and the one that really kind of blew my socks off, was 9/11 Loose Change Final Cut.
I think we have a clip. I think it'll be okay to play a clip of that.
Why not?
Here we go. So let's play a clip of that, and then we'll get back to the synopsis.
The 9/11 truth movement is something to be applauded. That the reason that it's so necessary is that there are so many unanswered questions. Those questions are unanswered because this administration won't answer them. I mean, it's that simple, okay?
A country that hides something is a country that is afraid of getting caught.
We found the identities of four of the 9/11 hijackers prior to 9/11.
Where is it? Where's the beef? Where's the substance?
Throw them all out, John. These are all the trucks. Spread them out.
As hard as this is to believe, that two of the alleged terrorists involved in what happened on Tuesday may have attended schools run by the U.S. military.
How is it that on four separate occasions, on one day, that $1 trillion military and intelligence infrastructure could fail?
Nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government, that could envision flying airplanes into buildings on such a massive scale.
But that turns out not to be true. U.S. military planners did envision and practice those very scenarios.
During the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand?
Why I'm involved is simply because I want the truth. The firefighters who walked into those buildings that day did so in order to help other people, same as they do every day. They didn't deserve what happened. I want the truth of what actually happened on the day.
We came down, it looked like a bomb went off in the lobby. There was no fire, it just looked like a bomb went off.
So I believe the bomb hit the lobby first, and a couple of seconds in the first plane hit.
It wasn't in front of jet fuel. No way.
Started walking down the stairs and into the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew it back into the 8th floor.
Did this controlled demolition.
Sake evaded.
It was nice going.
Remember this! Your government funded and trained Al-Qaeda.
So, I mean, here's the thing. We're popping it up on the website here, http://expatjoeshow.blogspot.com. You can watch the full thing for free.
On the site.
That's it.
As well as Zeitgeist, which we had up last week.
That's just above us. Just above this week's.
So, check it out. Yeah, and it really is an eye-opener.
I'm telling you, it's almost 2 hours. I think it's over 2 hours of just data.
Jaw-dropping shit. Ugh.
I mean, scientific, just, you know, for those of you who don't know, this is the third edition of the film, and the first edition was a little sketchy, it was a little patchy, but the second edition was really kicking, and that focused on a lot of the problems with the official story, but then they kind of went on to their own, you know, theories as to what may have happened. Whereas this third and final version focuses just on the main story, on the official version, and just presents to you how ridiculous and scientifically impossible the official version is.
And, you know, we're gonna maintain our objectivity, of course, but you have to watch it, but you also have to... before you write in and criticize it, you have to watch it. And that's what we said about Zeitgeist. You have to watch this stuff. We're not going to be, what is the word? We're not going to be conspiracy mongers, but we're definitely going to be eye openers, I think, when we pick our media here.
I'm just saying, it blew my face off, pretty much, you know? And so I encourage people just to check it out. And at the very least, you know, it presents enough information to say, you know what? The official story doesn't provide enough sense, enough common sense. And there's more to the story. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying.
For you truthers out there who have a hate on for the CDers, let it go. It draws a lot of people in. Chances are there was some planning involved in the destruction of the towers from the ground level. So let it go. Let it go. Let loose change do its stuff.
Yeah, let's hear. We're going to get loads of emails about that, and we welcome them. Positive and negative. Let's hear your voices, folks. At least if you send your opinion, that means you've got an opinion, which is a lot better than not having one.
Absolutely.
Okay. Joe, web pick of the week. Internet pick.
All right. Want to recommend a brilliant blog. Not updated as often as it used to be, but the discussion boards at the blog are still kicking. I've got the page open in front of me. I'm just going to read off some random discussion topics. All right. First, Satanist gang kills and eats four teens.
Delicious.
Another topic. Wag the dog. How to conceal massive economic collapse. There's another topic. There's something about autumn. Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, he's a legend.
The Gonzo. And Scanner Randomly.
So, is that like Scanner Darkly?
It could be. I haven't looked at any of these threads yet, but it's just a taste, and it's not a really persuasive way to introduce the site, but I haven't prepared.
I don't know about you, Joe, but I heard the first one. Can you just read that again, the first topic there?
Satanist gang kills and eats four teens.
Satanist gang kills and eats four teens.
Okay, well, let's open the thread.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, these days it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you know what, man? Satanist gangs, there are... What happened to the good old Satanist gangs? Just only four? What Looks the like fuck it, is that about? Looks it used like to it be happened. Like Satanist gangs massacres 99 elderly people beside waterfall and fills the canyon with blood.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Knifed 666 times each and eaten.
Okay. Wow. I take everything I said back. And where did that happen?
They were roasted on a bonfire. For fuck's sake. Where in the UK somewhere.
What? Shit.
Wow.
There are our neighbors. Well, you know what? I'm not surprised. Oh, I'm sorry. I am surprised. It's
the
horrible.
Teens were members of a goth subculture. They were lured one by one to a cottage and forced to get drunk before being butchered.
Holy shit.
Wow.
When did this happen?
Oh, in Russia. This happened in Russia.
Oh, Russia? Why didn't you say so?
It was being reported in a UK tabloid, so I just assumed.
Whew, for a minute there, I thought it was in a country where... No, oh my God, it's still just as bad. Holy shit.
Okay, and...
Are you sure this isn't the movie? This is true. This happened. Like, people have been roasted and eaten. Barbecued. It was like a human barbecue.
Well, it came from the internet, so it's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
Well, yeah, you got to check the source. It is The Sun. Which,
oh, for the love of all that's sweet and pure. You might as well go and check the phone numbers in the toilet in your local pub and ring them up and say, you're really going to come here and give me a blowjob?
How would they know they'd been knifed 666 times if they were consumed?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
If they had eaten, the people how they have known how many times there is that.
Well, I guess the gang could have confessed.
Oh, they might have a website. Do they have a website? Maybe the gang has a website. Well, what would Britain, you call it? Like fucking ChristianBarbecue.com? I don't know.
Here's a little bit of a local scaremongering. In Britain, about 400 people list their religion as Satanism. Followers meet at a grotto for rituals with candles and swords run by witches and warlocks.
Mm.
So equating Satanist cannibalism with paganism?
Way to enlighten the mood there, Joe.
I try.
Okay, so from...
What's next here? We got the...
eating chicken feet to eating humans. We're really continuing the food theme this week, aren't we? This is very culinary. My God. Okay. Book time.
That's you.
All right, I'm going to be really super quick here. People are going to slag me about this, I know, but...
Slag off.
It's a chick book, guys. I guess that's what people would call it, a chick book. I disagree. I read it. I thought it was fantastic. The book is called...
Oh, are you saying chick books can't be good?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that, you know, I've got friends...
In low places.
Which would, like, give me a hard time for saying that this is my book pick of the week.
They read only Hemingway and Kerouac.
No, they don't read shit. They read Playboy and Hustler. Okay. What this book is called is... It's called Eat, Pray, Love. And not eating, like, teens on bonfires, but...
Is that P-R-E-Y or P-R-A-Y?
No, eat.
Pray. Like,
eat. Pray. And then love. Love your cadavers after you've slaughtered them on the bonfire in the UK or Russia. No, this is called Eat, Pray, P-R-A-Y, Love. And it's a book by Elizabeth Gilbert. And I reckon a lot of people who hear this already have read it. It's a bestseller. It's a fantastic book. And it's basically about a woman who goes through an emotional crisis and decides that the best way to solve it is to travel and to find herself, you know, the old-fashioned way, the old-fashioned reason for traveling that became a cliche, but is now back in fashion. So she heads off and she goes to Italy for the food.
Italia.
She discovers the food in Italy, and then she goes to Indonesia.
Indonesia. You know what?
No, you know what? No, she goes to India. For the pray, for what? The meditation, the spiritual side. Then she goes to Indonesia for the love. And here's the cool thing about this book is, I you know, there's another podcast called Seen Unseen, which I would highly recommend. But in that, they have a thing where they review movies. And when they like this thing called method movie going, where, for example, if they go to see a movie about skateboarding, they will... You know, go skateboarding beforehand or whatever. Silly little thing, but, you know, it kind of gets them into the movie theme. Mm-hmm. So I read this book, and after I read it, I did method book reading. I went to Indonesia.
Whoa.
No, I went there for surfing. Like, I surf.
The book.
But I read the book.
Not looking for love.
I wasn't looking for love, but I was looking for the surf. You can't surf here in Korea. Well, you can, but it's shit. I went surfing in Indonesia. It was fantastic, brilliant. And I decided while I was there, because I just read this book, why not find the dude that's mentioned? And that's there's a lot of this book is about this one guy, this kind of guru, shaman, fortune teller guy who lives on the island of Bali.
Mm.
So I saw
you hunt him down.
I hunted him down. And you know what? I found him. And you know what else? I got my fortune told by the guy. And right. I've got a photograph to prove it. And he's in this book. He's heavily in this book. And no, it's not that guy. This is a photo on my wall. No, Joe is pointing to a photo. That's not the dude. It's a different exotic photo. And he told me my fortune, which I won't reveal, but...
Wait, why not?
Well,
this is two unfinished stories in one podcast.
Well, Joe. There you go. We've got to keep the listeners listening, man.
That's it. It's the hook.
Know what I mean? I'll tell the fortune later on. But anyway, this guy who's mentioned in the book Eat, Pray, Love... sat me down. I chatted with him for ages, and we talked about the book, and he told me about the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, who had spent a lot of time with him, and it was a great experience. It was really cool. It was the first time in my life where I read a book and loved a book, and then actually went and visited a place where the book that inspired the book, and met this character that's in the book, heavily in the book.
What's his name? Do you remember?
Oh, man, he's got a real Balinese name. Yes, his name is...
Kachuk. Chuck.
No, no.
You ever see that?
His name is, I got it. His name is Ketut Lair.
Did you ever see that Kachuk dance?
I saw that. I've got a, I made a little movie about it. You saw it. His name is Ketut Lair. Ketut Lair, however you pronounce it. Ketut is his first name. What a great guy. He's got no teeth. He's like all wrinkly leather skin. The dude, nice. He touches you and he knows your soul. Now, you know, I'm not really into that stuff, but I tell you what, he had an effect on me after he told me a lot of stuff. And afterwards, I thought a lot about my life, whatever. And so I recommend that book, Eat, Pray, Love. Hmm. Especially if you are, I think women will definitely relate to it more than men, but even if you're a dude, read it. It's awesome, especially for the traveling things. And, you know, I was there in Indonesia and it was so great to have read that book and then meet this guy and then come back and reread the book. And, you know, it's just do it, you know.
Nice.
So that's it. That's my book pick of the week. Hmm. So we got the ESL dialogue time.
Nice.
Okay, enjoy, folks. Enjoy the ESL dialogue of the week.
On Tuesday, I played soccer with my friends. I was master's team. Our master was very good, but my friends' team, too. Later, we were lose. But a very fun time. Conclusion, we were lose. But we were fun and exciting.
Welcome to my octopus restaurant. Come and eat my delicious pussies.
My palate is still too sensitive for this.
Oh, that ought to be as useful as a chocolate-covered teapot.
Dude, don't gleek on my tentacles, man.
I'm not eating this shit.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going from soup to nuts with this sucker.
That's way over the top.
Well, there you go. That was our ESL dialogue of the week. Again, you know, we like to stress we are pushing the common phrases, the everyday vocabularies, the vernacular of the common man. So, we had a few little gems in there. First one I think you might have heard was
chocolate covered teapot,
which means,
well, you know, that's kind of like what is the use of having a teapot that's covered in chocolate?
Right? I mean, composed of chocolate, made of chocolate,
I mean, what are you gonna do with that? I mean,
eat the fucking thing.
Well, I mean, if you pour the water. I think if you're having a teapot, it's going to be hot water, right? So it's going to be melted. It's going to be chocolata all over you, you know.
Butter.
So that means just basically it's useless. Mm. Then we had don't gleek on my tentacles. Gleek means, Joe, can you explain what gleek means?
Yes, to gleek is to project saliva from your submandibular glands through the compression of your tongue.
Ding!
So you're not spitting, you're
spraying.
Firing your saliva.
Shooting.
To gleek, it's also known as to gleet, to gleep, to glit, to glick, and to gland. That's close for you.
So, yeah, kind of a spray of saliva. Delicious. And then the last one we had was?
Oh, boy. It was, going from soup to nuts.
Hmm. Which means?
Well, it's basically from the beginning until the end. Mm-hmm. Going from soup, which I would assume would be the aperitif.
It'll be chicken balls.
To the nuts, which would be the dessert in this case.
I don't know. I suppose.
I prefer ice cream, but...
A.K.A. You know, start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Start to finish. So there you go. Read it, write it, learn it, teach it. Fucking do whatever you want with it. There you go. That's our ESL. Don't say you don't learn shit.
That's it.
From this podcast. Okay.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. So that's our ESL dialogue of the week, motherfucker. What do we got next, folks? Well, we don't have much.
Time for our music push.
It is. It is. Oh, do you have one, Joe?
Oh, I do, in fact.
Oh, fantastic. That's good. So last week you heard, what was it? Loving My Soju?
Soju Love.
And we, you know, check, listen to that song if you didn't hear the first podcast. It is awesome.
Yeah, great fun. Well, this week we have some music out of Montreal.
Montreal.
By a band called the All Day Breakfast Band.
Tu voudrais coucher avec moi ce soir?
I miss All Day Breakfast, you know?
Jesus. Eggs and spuds.
How about the Ireland? Do they have the breakfast buffet thing going on?
Do you know what? You know, in Ireland, we have what many people consider breakfast food as in the evening time. Maybe it was just my house, but at tea time, we have tea time, right?
Tea mm-hmm. time.
Tea time is in Ireland is around 6 or 7 o'clock.
Dinner.
Because no, dinner time for us is around 1 or 2 o'clock
in the morning.
Is supper? In the afternoon, supper is about 9 or 10 o'clock. So, but that was just my house. And, you know, maybe it's different. I don't want any Irish people writing in saying,
he's a liar.
You're a dirty country culty. No, in where I'm from, in my household, we had dinner at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we had our tea around 6. And tea consisted of a fry up. Sausages, rashers, eggs, bread, whatever you want.
Did you say
tea.
Hashers? Hash browns?
Hashers. Hash?
Hash?
Well, the hash wouldn't have been had for tea in my household.
It would have been in the tea.
In the tea.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
In the strumpets.
I can't imagine what the household would have turned into if that was the case. But what was your question to begin with?
In the strumpets. Was it in the strumpets?
I don't know. What are strumpets?
Well, the crumpets, strumpet, whatever it is.
Listen, man, you're mistaking me for someone who lives the neighbors of Ireland.
Oh, boy.
I've
proved my ignorance
they
once
have,
again.
They have the crumpets. Where I'm from, we have sods of turf. we eat sods of turf and live cows.
Eyeballs.
Eyeballs. You know the part where the milk comes out? The udders.
The udder.
We eat the udders. We stir our tea. We stir our Guinness with the udders in the morning.
We were giving the Koreans a hard time.
Severed ooters.
Oh, boy.
Nah. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yes. So, the music. Okay, Joe. What's this week's music pick?
This is El Borracho.
El Borracho.
And that consumes this week's edition of Expat Joe's Expat Show.
Consume. I like consume, you know, with the food references. I like to consume. That's a good word.
Octopussy.
You gonna let me end this or not? God damn it. You're enjoying yourselves far too much.
End it. End it.
Download us next week for more of the same but better.
Drunk and weary, he dances a song.